portion of the meeting. On my immediate left is Madeline. Why don't we all introduce ourselves, starting with Madeline?
Hi, Madeline Arteaga, I'm a senior at Swisher Central High School, I'm part of the Youth and Governance Program, and this is my second term on the governance.
Mike Abel, I'm a merchant planner, District 4.
Erin Nevers, supervisor, District 22.
And I'm Doug Noble, 17th District in Pleasant Prairie, County Supervisor.
Andy Bueller, Planning Development.
Greg Retzloff, County Supervisor, District 15.
April Webb, Administrative Secretary for the Planning Office.
And this, on my immediate left, Madeline, she's a member, she's head of Youth and Governance. She is, Youth and Governance is a program that this committee started a few years ago. And we have several people, young people from the high schools that apply, and some of them are selected. Madeline is allowed to ask questions, so she also can vote on it. But the members that are county boards are the members whose vote basically is the binding vote. As a public hearing, some people, this may be the first time they've been to a public hearing, so I generally explain what's going to happen. The agenda item, Andy will read the agenda item and make a little bit of a presentation on that. And then at that time, I'll ask the petitioner to come forward and state their name and address and for the record and explain what exactly you're requesting. And then I'll ask the committee if they have any questions for the petitioner. And at that point, as part of the public hearing, we'll ask for people in the audience if they would like to speak in favor, and I will ask twice. And then I'll ask if there's anyone in the audience that's opposed, and I'll also ask again twice. Even if there's no one wanting to speak, for the record, we will ask twice. And then after that, we'll ask, that will close the public portion to opportunity to speak, and I'll ask Andy if the town had made a recommendation on the matter. And then the committee will be able to ask more questions if they would like. And at some point, we'll have a motion on the item, and we'll take a vote. And I think that summarizes it. So with that, Andy, we'll start with number one. Number six.
So our item six tonight is the public hearing on proposed comprehensive plan amendment, St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, 39506 60th Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105 is the owner. Alan L. Kaditz, 38331 60th Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105 agent. Requests an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County 2035, which is map 65 of the comprehensive plan from suburban density residential to governmental and institutional on part of tax parcel number 954-219-323-0401. In the town of Wheatland. And on the screen, we'll pull up the map of this property. This one here, you can see the area in purple. This is the area that is part of the cemetery property that does not have the zoning institutional as the rest of the cemetery, and Mr. Kaditz is here to be able to explain further about the request here. They do have a comprehensive plan, and it's followed up by a rezone. And also just for record, you can see the site here is the cemetery, and it's the back corner that they're requesting the change.
My name is Alan Kaditz. I live at Slate Corners, 38331 60th Street. That's Burlington, actually, for the mailing address.
If you can state exactly what your why you're coming before the committee and asking for the comp plan change.
I'm the agent, as we stated here. And anyway, I'm asking for the zone.
Sir, I think you pressed it again. You press it once and then you...
Oh, you leave it. You'll hold your finger out. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Anyway, I'm the agent for the cemetery and for the church on this project. I brought along with me my my brother Wayne, who's been very helpful in assisting in this, and also the president of the church, Doug Shaw, and he is also the president of the cemetery board. He is present here also. Two parcels are adjacent to the existing cemetery, and according to the original documents, they were actually split off of this farm over 100 years ago. So it's really kind of neat that it's being put back together. The previous owners of this farm were Walt and Kate Kirkman, and them along with their son Randy Kirkman have been very helpful and generous in helping us put this together. The picture is still updated. Unfortunately, this was really split by the highway with the four lane highway 50 went through. It really kind of split things off here for them.
This one?
Yeah. Yeah, the one you had before is fine too. It shows that the big brown area, that's highway 50, the four lane, where old highway 50 is a smaller brown thing. So that really split this off. The rest of their farmland is north of this highway. So it kind of shows it there a little bit. Property is owned by the church. And Path Services, which my brother and I own, we're the caretakers of this property that we're asking to rezone. And anyway, by putting this together with the cemetery is owned by the church, like I said. Tax dollars will never have to be used to maintain or care for the cemetery. I know the cemeteries in the county have had to take funds from the town and so forth. So the church owns this, the church maintains it. The lawnmowers and other equipment will be stored in the buildings. The cemetery has reached capacity. We can go to the north a little bit, but the ideal lots are to the east, where it's a lot higher ground. And it's, if you go to the next picture, you can show that.
This one?
The actual picture.
The photo?
Yeah, right there. Right where those trees are, and that ground right in front of you, that's the best ground to be used for the cemetery. And we actually tried to buy that from Walt Kirkman and his family probably 30 years ago, I would say, Doug. It's been a long time. We always wanted that to go to. It's the best ground, it's the highest, and it'll just be most advantageous to redo it and make it look nice. It looks nice now, it's always been maintained, but you can see the buildings in the background, and that's used as storage equipment. There's the house and the other buildings. They really, this place is really kept up well. Walt and Kate, they put siding on the barn, put a metal roof on the barn, and everything else before it was sold. So it's well maintained, and that's the way we plan to keep it. But anyway, that's our plan.
All right. Any questions from the committee? So the first one we're doing is that little parcel that's actually behind the existing cemetery?
Correct. I want to add a little bit on this because I know there's four different items tonight. Comprehensive planning and rezoning on the parcel that we see before us, then a comprehensive plan and rezoning on the property with the buildings that was just talked about by Alan. But this part right here for this item is the northeast corner of the cemetery that, as we were working with them on this purchase and this combination and a request tonight before the committee, we realized that this corner was left out for some reason. We don't know why. Through the process, it did not have the comprehensive plan to show for it to be institutional. It is already in as a part of the cemetery. But in any case, the request here right now is just for that portion to be changed. And then the next item will be coming up to actually have the zoning changed to institutional for cemetery use.
So we're going to rephrase that. We're going to vote twice on this little parcel, once as a comprehensive plan, and then after we vote on that, it'll be for the zoning. But the first thing we're going to do is ask for this little parcel if there's anybody in attendance that would like to speak in favor. Anybody that would like to speak in favor? Is there anybody here tonight that would like to speak against this parcel? Anybody again? Nolan. Any recommendation from the town?
We have information from the town. The town board met on this item on December 8, 2014, and the item passed.
I make a motion to approve the comprehensive plan amendment.
I'll second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Redsliff. Any questions? This is a roll call required. Adam?
Aye.
All those in favor from the committee, well, on caucus, we have to have a roll call.
Aye.
We have Supervisor Vogel's aye.
Aye.
Decker's aye. Noble aye.
Aye.
Redsliff aye. Passes unanimously. Now we have the zoning for the same rural parcel.
So item number 7 is rezoning St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church 39506 60 Street, Burlington, Wisconsin 52105. Owner Alan L. Cattis 38331 60 Street, Burlington, Wisconsin 52105. Agent requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District to I1 Institutional District on part of tax parcel number 954-219-323-0401 in the town of Wheatland. And on the screen you'll see the purple area highlighted. That is the property that we were talking about just to the east of the one that was previously acted upon. Oh, excuse me here.
No way.
It's the previous one. Yeah. Sorry. There it is. It's the northeast corner.
We're still on that little parcel. So, is Mr. Cotters, do you have anything more to add on that?
No, nothing additional, sir.
Any questions from the committee before I ask for it?
It's for potential cemetery expansion, is that right?
That is for potential cemetery expansion, yes.
All right, is there anybody in attendance tonight that would speak in favor of this petition? Anybody in favor? Is there anybody here that is against? Anybody against this petition? If not, Andy, town recommendation?
Town Board of Wheatland also met on this item on December 8, 2014, and the matter passed.
I make a motion to approve rezoning.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Becker, second by Supervisor Vogel to approve the rezoning. Any questions before we vote? Is a roll call vote?
Yes, sir.
Majority vote?
Voice
for now.
Aye.
Members of the committee, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item.
Item 8, comprehensive plan amendment, public hearing on proposed comprehensive plan amendment, St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, 39506 60 Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, 52105. Owner Alan L. Cattis, 38331 60 Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, 52105. Agent requests an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County 2035, map 65 of the comprehensive plan, from suburban density residential to governmental and institutional on tax parcel number 954-219-323-0210. This is now the map that I've shown previously, which is to the east of the existing one that has the buildings on it.
Mr. Powers, this is a slightly different parcel. Do you have anything to say about this particular parcel?
Well, we showed the picture of there. It's a parcel with the barn and the house on, so it's just on the east side, and this is the primary place we want to add lots, on the east side, and it's a lot higher. But the northeast corner gets pretty low, and this is not a lot of that.
Do you have plans to redo the church there, or is this
your office? No, it's just not for it. We have a nice church in Space Corners. It's part of the church that we're down there, so.
Any other questions from the committee?
Andy, did we talk about the plans of those buildings or not? Is that something discussed, or is that not?
Petitioner can explain what they want to do with the building.
Just curious, what's your plan on the building?
Just storing equipment and lawnmowing equipment stored in and out, and then we have some fire tractors and stuff that were stored inside. That's all we've had. That's all we can do with it. We can't put animals in or anything anymore, so.
And the residents?
The caretaker lives in the house.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, but there's no, nothing stored outside. Just like you see in the pictures, house.
Any questions? Is there anybody here in attendance that would like to speak against, in favor of this petition? Anybody in favor? Anybody here tonight against? Anybody want to speak against? Andy, recommendation from the town?
Town of Wheaton's town board met on this also on December 8th, 2014, in the matter passed.
I make a motion to approve the comprehensive plan amendments.
A motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Redcliffe, to approve the comprehensive plan. Any questions from the committee? This is a roll call required.
Aye.
Noble, aye.
Aye.
Redcliffe, aye. That's all those, everybody's in favor is unanimous. Thank you. We have one more then. That's the actual rezoning for the same piece.
So number 9 is rezoning St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, 395-066 East Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105. Owner, Alan L. Caddis, 38331 60 Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105. Agent, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation to District to I1 Institutional District on tax parcel number 954-219-323-0210, located in the town of Wheaton. Again, it's the same map as previous, showing for the, in this case, it would be for the rezone. Excuse me.
This is where the fire truck is. Any, Mr. Caddis, anything to add?
Nothing more to add, Mr.
Chairman. Is there anybody here tonight that would like to speak in favor of this? Anybody in favor? Anybody against? Does anybody want to speak against? Any? Tom?
Donald Wheaton Town Board also met on this December 8, 2014, in the matter passed.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the rezoning.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Noble. Any last questions? If not, it's a voice vote.
Aye.
Members of the committee, if you say or say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 10 is the conditional use permit, Summers USA LLC. Summers, the item did not did get tabled at the town of Summers last night, and we would recommend that staff for it to be tabled here as well.
Motion to table number 10, the conditional use permit.
Need a second?
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to table. Second by Supervisor Noble.
I have a question. Why was it tabled?
They tabled it at the town. There was a number of different items that they had questions with that they needed to get answers, and so they tabled it for that information to come to them.
But we don't know. They just, we went through this thing yesterday. Okay. Right.
Excuse me, what was it?
Well, I was just thinking, I was just curious, they gave reasons why they tabled it. I mean, this petitioner's probably been waiting now 2 months. We're waiting for the town of Summers to get going. I don't know.
Should be in the folder right under the yellow.
Are they here?
No, we contacted them not to come because it was tabled at the town, and we don't recommend items to be acted upon without them being acted upon at the town. And there was a number of, again, there was a number of different items that came up that they had questions on, and there weren't necessarily answers for everything. And so because of that, they needed to get the information. information together, which they have to come before the next meeting, and the item was then tabled.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion on the table? Madam?
Aye.
All those members of the committee in favor of the table, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item number 11 is Chad L. Giles, 4800 4th Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53144. Owner requesting a rezoning from B3 Highway Business District to R2 Suburban Single Family Residential District on tax parcel number 804-222-022-0365 and 804-222-022-0370 in the town of Summers. On the screen, you can see the property highlighted in yellow off of County Trunk Highway M. And we can get a view of the property from the road. It is a vacant property right now. And if the petitioner can come forward, you can explain your request tonight and state your name and address.
Hello, Chad Giles, 4800 4th Street, Kenosha. The land was on Old Green Bay Road. It was on Green Bay Road before the state of New Mexico. So everything along there was business. There's two properties. And it's zoned for business right now. Everything around it is residential, and it's for the county's overall plan. I want to make it residential. That's what I like to do. I'll be dividing both lots. There's two lots. It's only about an acre and a quarter. And use it for single family one day.
Use it what?
Single family, no apartment or anything like that. That's it.
Question. This is already in the comprehensive plan to be residential?
That's correct.
Have a quick, you don't plan on storing things on this land, do you?
Your Honor, I don't think so. Not that I plan to, no.
Because I think the neighbors would not enjoy that.
No, we
did.
The town level, they asked that question.
Okay.
It's just more and more right now.
Did you ask any of the neighbors about this? If you should buy this property?
I think they she did well.
Oh, okay.
Very smart.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Is there anybody here tonight that would like to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody here that would like to speak in favor? Anybody here against? Anybody against? See anybody? Recommendation from the town?
I move that we accept.
Town of Summers, Tom Ward met on this item December 9th, 2014. A motion to pass.
I make a motion that we accept this rezoning.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Ressler, second by Supervisor Decker to approve this rezoning. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, voice vote. Panel?
Aye.
Members of the committee, if you're in favor, say aye.
Aye.
If you're opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you. Item number 12 is the rezoning PUD overlay, Charles Tunkeys, Inc., 8737 18th Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53144. Owner, John and Burroughs, Majestic Realty Company, 13191 Crossroads Parkway, North 6th Floor, City of Industry, California, 91746. Agent, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District and A4 Agricultural Land Holding District to BP1 Business Park District and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District with the Planned Unit Development Overlay on tax parcel numbers 804-222-213-0100 and 804-222-282-0101 in the town of Summers. The map on the screen, you can see the area highlighted. The two different areas are two different parcels, both going, well, one going from A1 to BP1, the other from A4 to BP1. And then viewing the property from the road, we'll see what that looks like. Hopefully. So this is looking to the northwest, and this is the farm property and the farm buildings. So the petitioner could come forward and speak on this matter.
Good evening. My name is Adam Arts, 15850 West Lumont Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. I represent Pinnacle Engineering Group, who is an agent for Majestic Realty on this property. John Burroughs is the actual agent. This rezoning is being requested as the first of many things to develop this land into a business park. The property is about 310 acres, and it's in the comprehensive land use plan to switch to BP1 zoning. We are carrying out that comprehensive plan and trying to take it into BP1 zoning with a PUD overlay to interject some flexibility into the property to allow a plethora of different development to happen on here. The items, which I understand Andy's going to go over individually here, they're meant to interject flexibility into the land. This is a very large tract of land and can accommodate a lot of things that others in the areas can't. One, it has rail service, which is a unique animal in this area, and the fact that it's a large tract of land with rail service. So the intent is to bring in regional, if not international, companies to this site and have it be a business park. A lot of questions came up at the town on specific users and things like that. I don't have anything to share with you. This is again step one of many steps developed into a park. And as part of that, with the town and the county's requirements, we've developed conceptual plans. We've developed conceptual engineering, a concept stormwater management plan to show that everything works together. And we feel that this is a great piece of land. We're excited to bring this forth tonight. I'm here to answer any questions you may have, and we'll go from there.
Any questions from our committee before we ask the public comments?
Well, you have no idea who might be in attendance there at all. As of now, there are no plans or some kind of back burners. Or I know you mentioned that you had said you didn't know anything. You told the town. Is that right?
There is nothing specific that I can comment on that's happening there. I can't say that there is numerous, there are numerous developments that are out for what they call out for proposal to build in this region. The intent with this rezoning is to show these prospective tenants that this could be viable land for them.
One of the other areas that you put in your stipulation is 5-year commitment. Do you want to speak to that, Doug, or
I think
Andy can speak to that?
Andy, give an overview.
Okay.
I have a question that I don't think is on the air. You mentioned rail service, and I know there's a railroad. But don't you have to have like a spur to use it as for service?
The reason I'm hesitating is nomenclature. Spur or siding. There's private being a siding. Traffic on a siding just has two connections to the rail, whereas the spur just has one.
So you, if you happen to get a tenant that would need the rail service, then you would have to put a siding, right? Or is there a siding there already?
There is not a siding or any off main line connections here. Yes, if a tenant required rail, connection would be built.
Okay. Is that addressed there? Start with Andy. You want to give a little summary of this?
Sure. I just wanted to present for the record just in the planning and development, just because that doesn't happen that often for the committee, even for us. And so there are 9 different deviations that the developers have asked for, and I just thought that for the record we needed to just bring that in. So one, you have before you the conditions of approval. Also, the PUD just brings together all of the other requirements that are necessary to take place for any development to occur in regards to working with the town in their codes and the county and stormwater. So all those things are all spelled out. You have the airport overlay district to take into account as well. That is mentioned also. But the key points that are things this different, this that we're calling out to, I guess, make notice of is these deviations. And the first one is that in the BP1, there is a minimum open space area requirement of 35%, and they're requesting 25%. That was something that was brought up at different meetings, and it seems to be something that's fairly standard now for our county in the city of Pleasant Prairie. There's a parking setback of interior lot lines. The ordinance requires 10 feet. They are requesting that there would be 0 feet, and that should just be made known that that's for interior lot lines. Those would not be any setback deviations from the exterior, which would be on County Trunk Highway H and Highway S. And we have a note there to state that parking setback will be a minimum of 10 feet from back of curb of all interior private roadways. Number three is the minimum parking stall size is by county ordinance 10 by 20. They're requesting 9 by 18. They had gone into detail why they were requesting that, but we have a note that this deviation would not take place in situations where there would be commercial activity, where the public would be coming and going, as opposed to workers at any of these potential industrial complexes or warehouses. Number four is lot access. There is a requirement in our chapters 14 that every lot have at least 66 feet of frontage on a public road. They're asking for zero, and that there can be some lots that would be created that would not have frontage on an actual public road, but would have frontage on the interior access roads, which are all planned on being private. Number five is from our stormwater ordinance, chapter 17, stating stormwater best management practices, BMP, shall be located on outlots. They're requesting that not be the case, just to get flexibility dependent upon how the property is going to be subdivided in the future by survey maps and what size buildings are going to be. But in the packet, everyone was able to see a potential of how the property could be fully built out and where the ponds would be located. There would be easements required for the use of those ponds from the different properties for their stormwater. Number six, the basis for the petition approval in Chapter 12 is that they're saying that the physical development, the requirements of physical development be within 12 months. They're asking for 5 years before physical development actually take place. That would be December 10, 2019. That's 5 years from tonight. Number seven is building height. Our BP1 has a maximum of 60 feet. They're requesting 75 feet. We make a note that this may not be able to occur in certain areas of the property due to the airport restrictions, and there is requirements that the city and the airport restrictions be reviewed before buildings are permitted. And they had gone into it. If you have questions, the petitioner can explain why he's asking for that. Number eight, they're dealing with yards, that no building shall be located less than 40 feet from any other road. They're stating that 25-foot minimum between building and back of the curb from the private roads. Again, this would not be dealing with any of the overall side, rear, and street frontages. This would be internal private roads only. Number nine is, again, with the yards, that buildings, there's a requirement for setbacks depending on the building height of either 40 feet or 50 feet, and they're asking for a zero lot line for the buildings in such situations where the buildings may have interconnectivity between them. And again, the petitioner can explain further on that. The only other point I wanted to just bring up is item number 10. Due to the fact that they're requesting for the 5 year before any building to be constructed on this instead of the 12 months, we felt it important to at least cover the aspect of the PUD, and it states that if construction does not start within the PUD overlay development area within 3 years of this approval, the developer of the town or the county has a right to vacate, rezone the PUD overlay district. And that just gives the ability, as time has gone by, that if some changes have taken place and the developer of the town or the county feels it necessary to revisit the PUD to make changes to it and or to eliminate it because it's not needed on what's being presented, that we can do that after 3 years. Now, if there's any other questions, we'll take that now.
I just want to say, Supervisor, this is somewhat new for our staff, and they have a year to digest it. So I just want you to understand that we haven't had that year, so we may have some questions that may seem, maybe it seemed like a dumb question, but we may ask some dumb questions.
Well, I can say I'm here as a resource. If you have a question, please ask. I'd love to give you our reasoning behind each one of these. A lot of information in our package. Please question away.
To Andy Bueller, number six, we discussed in the meeting, the work session yesterday, about changing the time from 5 years to two, and we had also brought up that maybe it needed to be longer because of sewer, water, things like that, that might take longer than 2 years to get that. Is there a reason why it's 5 years in here and we discussed two?
After we talked about it with staff, we felt that we might be able to cover that with the PUD being 3 years to be able to revisit that, as opposed to anything in regards to the rezoning. In fact, the rezoning does match up with the comp plan. And again, if there's any other questions that the petitioner has for that, you can answer that. But from our feeling, we felt that it was important to, from the point that was brought up yesterday in the work session, to cover that under the PUD section and have that listed at the 3 years, as we were talking yesterday, 2 to 3 years.
Okay, then to the agent. Is there a reason why you want us to change it from 12 months to 5 years? Would be there a big change there?
Absolutely. The size of the development and the intended, we'll call it buildings or individual developments within the overall, these aren't your average. This isn't a 2 acre parcel we're trying to put a gas station on. The value of this land is going to be the rail service and the ability to fit a large building on it. These deals don't happen each and every day. Although, as a witness test, the county is getting these each and every day. So it's one of the ones where this is a normalized timeline where it may take 5 years to put a big building on it, or the first building on it. That could be as big as Amazon, could be twice as big. That this can support a lot of different things. Some of the regional developments that aren't necessarily covered in the news each and every day that need a huge tract of land, they take a long time to prosper. Some deals will come through in 30 days, some will take 9 months back and forth just to talk about the feasibility of the site. So the request is purely based on the size and complexity of this development. Another one of the things is getting utilities to the site, getting some of the underlying factors in place before we can even think of building construction, like developing plans and things for a development, and then getting the utilities in and starting construction. There's also, the bigger the building, we start looking at projects taking years to construct. There's Wisconsin with a 6 to 8 month gap where we're not starting new projects in the middle of winter. Just the phasing of things. You might have a deal in July, but you're not going to start it. You get your permits in October and start moving 300 acres of dirt in October, which is not feasible. So things just take a little bit longer when you get a little bit bigger in size.
Okay, and I know in the previous version that we looked at yesterday from the initial or the position from Google, it had that it was that we couldn't rescind the PUD overlay district. This is different in number 10, like Andy had mentioned, that after 3 years we have the right to vacate or rezone it. You're comfortable with that after the request of having it that we can't be removed ever?
Yes, I mean, the logic is there. It's my understanding it would be if the current majestic walked away from the property, Majestic's the one requesting the PUD. The landowner and the comprehensive plan is from DP1, Majestic's requesting the PUD. So, you know, if they walked away from the deal or the property in 3 years, yes, it makes sense. We're comfortable with it. We can both accept that.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Ressler, if you have any questions?
Yeah, just curious why the, and maybe Andy talked about this, just a small thing on this parking stall size. Why do you want smaller?
Bigger stalls equal more pavement. 9 by 18 is a nationwide standard. It's standard in this area. Since if you know much of Pleasant Prairie, 9 by 18 is the typical stall. When you get into some of these larger developments, and you can use Amazon as a model, 2,000 parking stalls, if you do 10 by 20 as compared to 9 by 18, the physical amount of pavement to accommodate that is dramatically larger. If you look at most pretty much all the shopping centers, and if you know what you reference, they're 9 by 18. It's not a new concept by any means. It's just we're asking to use a size that Majestic's comfortable with.
And Greg, I think that the thing is that the county is 10 by 20, and we did even do that at Summers Market Center for Walmart. And I think here we put in the requirement that at least in the place where the public was coming, that the 10 by 20 spaces would be active, as opposed to those where a worker may be coming once, or if there's multiple shifts a couple times in a day, that might be more appropriate.
Understood. But the... You're basically then saying there's not going to possibly be a health club there. Would it be traffic, a school, some type of training facility? Would there be a lot of people? You're just talking about a warehouse working employees, pretty much. Is that what you're looking at? Is why you don't? Is that the logic of the parking situation?
I wouldn't say that. It's just going to be warehouses, because that's not the case. You can, the intent with the business park scenarios, if you go into, say, business park in Kenosha, there are many different building sizes there. Some have office components, and some have warehouse components. Some are manufacturing and assembly. I think you'll get the overall mix. But one of the underlying factors, which I talked about at Feeble Corn today, is, you know, an office development could exist in this development. If you look at you lined up Pleasant Prairie, that's a great example of a campus. They have an office component and a warehouse component, but it's still generally a business park. The 9 by 18 stall size does not concern us in any way. I understand you guys have some standards here, but in terms of functionality and working, I've never seen an issue in all my project experience with 9 by 18.
Okay, then number four. Our ordinance is 66 feet minimum frontage. You don't want any wide.
The intent of the business park scenario is to act, you know, the roads internally here are not intended to be, you know, arterial roads or collector roads for the region. It's intended to serve the business park. The roads are intended to be private. Something that was discussed with the town of Summers, you know, the maintenance would fall upon the developer, and it would be treated as a common road between multiple different buildings. A common scenario in business parks is you get stopped traffic. You know, trucks are doing paperwork and manifests, and they sit out on these roads. They're not really functioning as roads per se. It's not something like a Kenosha County would be interested in. These roads are a little bit wider. You know, they'll have stopped trucks on them, and the whole thing about frontage is. Let me try to choose my words wisely. It kind of plays into the 0 foot side setback. Is if you get three different buildings that all coexist and they're functioning together, a road between them is not really a road, as it is an access point for three different facilities to operate between each other. So the intent is to remain flexible and allow those to coexist. A good example again is Amazon. You know, they have a private loop road in there. It may look like a road, it may look like a public road, but it's a private road that just goes through multiple parcels. So they have a setback off something that doesn't have any public interest. It's just a point to keep flexible.
And Thank you, Zach, because Greg, you were mentioning all about having parcels that wouldn't have any frontage mm-hmm. and a public road. And I think from what the concept plan is, because it's such a large parcel and because there is private roads, is that it would be infeasible to create parcels that would all touch on Highway S or Highway H, which would be the actual public roads, because everything internally are all private roads. And this is similar to with Summers Market Center. That's a PUD also. All those internal roads are all private, and so none of those have frontage on an actual public road either.
Okay, thank you.
To continue on with Ford, you read a lot in that's not on here. You know, like I would interpret it to be a note, which helped explain it a little bit. Don't you think we should have that listed as a note as well? When you talked about number four, it doesn't hardly say anything here, but you said quite a bit.
Well, if we can add that, I guess the intent on this is to at least state for what the requirement is and then what the request is of the deviation of the different areas of the ordinances. In some cases where we felt we needed some more description, we did put some notes. If you feel we can look to put a couple of notes in different areas.
Read what you said about it before. I think what you said before, in my opinion, some of that should be in here as a note. When you started explaining what this meant. Because to me, it doesn't really mean it. I don't really know what it's saying.
Well, and I guess the good part is we understand that part. And we are the ones that do have to uphold all the conditions here and have to make sure before we issue any permits. But we certainly can add a note there on that. I don't think you would have any problem with a little more description as to what the intent is of the request. Are you specifically stating for number four?
Well, there's a couple of them. I noticed when you read number eight, you said you added the word internal private road, but it doesn't say the word internal private road in the deviation. I don't know if there would be a possibility for a private road that wouldn't be internal.
Yeah, in this case there would not be, but I guess I say that just to maybe clarify then that these aren't going to be coming from Highway S or coming from Highway H.
So it would be not possible to have a private road that would not be internal.
For this development.
You know, those are the only two I wrote down while you were talking. So what was it that you said about me before, if you could review that, and I'll decide if I think you should have it.
Number four is in regards to having flexibility to create lots that don't have frontage on County Truck S or H because of the fact that it's a large development and lots may be developed that are smaller that would be internal of the property and would not physically touch H or S and would only be fronting on any of the internal private roads. It's for that fact that they're not going to have that frontage on a public road because it's an internal lot. It's a lot inside the boundaries, being that this is such a large parcel.
And you understand that, and that's what that is. I guess if the point is if you understand, he understands, then we're good.
I do understand it. Now I'll link it to a shopping center kind of grant. We're not going to put any retail. I don't think that message here, but if you look at, you know, where they have multiple buildings inside, and they're all connected by internal driveways, it's, yeah, I completely understand. It's just this subject of
questions?
the height issue. Andy, explain that again.
Actually, I think Adam might be best to explain that one.
Certainly. I used a very good example, the Mr. Feeble Corn today, because he's familiar with the Milwaukee area, but I'll try to summarize it in a different way. There's a new trend, technique, whatever you want to call it. There's new equipment to do high-racking storage. The example I used in Mr. Feeble Corn today is Quadgraphics in Sussex, Wisconsin. They have one part of their building that's extremely high because there's new equipment that can store things higher. And in the printing industry and in specialized industries, they need this new type of storage. It's more of a material management system than it is just storage. And it's becoming commonplace where they're working into food centers, food distribution centers, warehousing, printing industry. And again, the intent is here is to draw upon all the industries and bring a little bit of everything into this park. So it's a request that's being made. The buildings are not all going to be 70 feet tall by any standard. The normalized trend is 36 foot clear, which probably translates to a 45 foot tall building. It's just going to be areas that where if they needed to install this high rack system, it would allow them to happen.
I guess I understand what you're saying, makes sense to me. Why is our current ordinance as it is? Is it outdated or is it?
Well, yeah, that wasn't a phenomenon of when the VP one was created. And I mean, 60 feet is higher than any other district, but that's something that's new.
Okay, thank you.
Has Ben researched this to see that 90 feet is necessary for the type of places that he, I'm sorry, 70 feet for the type of places that he, 75 feet is necessary?
Well, yeah, based upon what they had said, they feel comfortable that they can accomplish that type of a system within that height.
No, I mean, have we done the research to find out that 75 feet is what's...
We had not done any further research on that. I guess at this point, we're taking their this aspect that they work with these companies, that they know what it is.
And you understand that you can't do it in the airport portion of it?
Absolutely. It's going to be nowhere near, I believe, let me first start by saying we've just begun the math. We have the one airport overlay districts. We have the studies from that. Regardless of the airport, we have the FAA to deal with. I believe the maximum height on we'll call it the south one-tenth of the site is, I believe, 60 feet, 62 feet, or 55, somewhere in that general range. And we understand that the city of Kenosha and the FAA will block us from doing that.
Supervisor Ritz, I think you still...
No, I'm good.
You're done? Are there any other questions? Right. I'm going to ask then, Andy, do you have anything?
I have nothing more to add on that.
Is there anybody tonight in attendance that would like to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody here that would like to speak in favor? Is there anybody here tonight that would like to speak against? Anybody here opposed? Seeing none, the recommendation from the town?
Town of Summers Town Board met on this item December 9, 2014. The motion passed 5-0.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning PUD overlays. Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to approve, second by Supervisor Goble. Last opportunity for questions.
And I guess this then is the, are you prepared to sign these?
I have a few motions with the conditions as stated.
They get signed tonight.
Right. If you're prepared for them, they would get signed tonight.
If I'm not prepared, can they get followed at a separate time?
We can do that. Do you need to check back with the owners? Because, I mean, everything will be approved as is.
I do need to check with them. I wasn't aware of that. Although I am their agent, I wasn't aware that we'd be signing anything tonight. So at least a conversation would need to happen.
we can do that. Of course, they don't become valid unless they're signed.
Right. Is there like a need to be signed within a certain time, or is this something that
No, but I think we should work on it in a diligent time frame.
Yeah, I'll if we can maybe we'll talk to them tomorrow or something.
That should be fine. I just want to make sure.
It has to be before Bowles County Board.
When's County Board?
First Tuesday of December. Or
no, January 6th, I think, is the next day.
Or the next one?
No, this does not go to the, I mean, this is going to the County Board, but it wouldn't be in January. There's not a second meeting in December.
Right, I meant to say the first. Were you at the Summers meeting last night?
I was at both of them, yes.
What were some of the comments similar to ours? Is there something different that might be a thought that you kind of stuck in your head from them? Were they kind of like going in one area that they were asking about? Or?
Well, Mr. Stoner thought we weren't moving fast enough.
Not fast enough?
Yes. We would like to see vertical buildings on here. Okay. There was, I believe, Mr. Lake made some comments, basically saying he wouldn't support the variances without further justification. So just as you guys did the day question, we came back, and I think Mr. Lake was the one who actually motioned put it up for approval and passed unanimously. The longest discussion item was just on the reason in terms of voluntary termination for the PUD, which Mr. Morris or Mr. Fiegelkorn and maybe Andy was involved to kind of the language that's in your package tonight about the right to terminate after 3 years or whatever language you put in there tonight. So I think that was the only open-ended.
Yeah, I probably should just explain it to us, because in the towns, the conditions, they did have the ability after 5 years to deal with the rezoning. The discussion isn't so much about the rezoning, because the rezoning matches the comprehensive plan, as opposed to what the requirements are with the PUD, because these deviations are based upon this plan. If Majestic wasn't here, or if things change over year time over those 5 years, we have all felt that it's more important to work with these things that we have before us with the PUD conditions.
What about the sewer and water issue? Was that satisfactory to you guys?
I don't think there's an issue. Rather, there's a path to get it there. The town has been working diligently for a number of years on their own to identify paths to the sewer and water there. It's a discussion. I believe they have a path already picked up to work with the landowners to get it to this site. The only open end was is getting the sewer water through the development to serve the future areas because it's oversized.
Yeah. Was there any issues with the city of Kenosha on this discussed with that regard? Was that ever discussed with
them? With the utility specific? Early on with the Kenosha Water Utility, I don't want to say analyze the system, but as we're looking into the entitlements on the property, we discussed with Kenosha Water Utility all the available sources in the area. And the town of Summers has their, it's not a utility, but they have their own control of the utilities that they get from Kenosha. And they laid down the path of how they wanted it to be, regardless of the other opportunities that were pursued. They told us how they wanted it to be.
Okay.
Because these lots, or this parcel is going to be subdivided into lots. When these lots get sold, this PUD carries over into these lots, correct?
Correct. So everything you see highlighted on the screen is part of the PUD.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Redzloff, there's one more that came to mind, which is there are some existing drainage problems to the east on the Fenske's property. And we've looked at several solutions coming up on it. A lot of people, including the Fenske's, mentioned that, hey, we just want to make sure we don't get drawn and out by excess water. And the commitment is there from not only myself, but the developer, but it's also protected in the county's ordinance and the town's ordinance to come up with a stormwater management plan that's satisfactory to the town engineer and the county engineer. So,
okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Any more questions? We have a motion on the floor. members of the committee, your favor, this rezoning and PUD overlay, say aye.
Aye.
You opposed, nay. Motion carries.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And one thing I want to mention is that all the items tonight were posted in the Kenosha News of the Class 2 notice on November 27th and December 2nd, 2014, meet the requirements for a public hearing.
Okay. We have minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Bogle to approve the minutes from the last meeting. All those in favor, youth and governance?
Aye.
Members of the committee, if you're in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. Do we have any certified surveys tonight?
We do not.
Any citizens' comments? Citizens' comments? No citizens' comments.
Don't you have any comments?
Any other business, Andy?
Just to inform the committee that in January we thought that there might not be a meeting, but now an item has come in, and one item that we had sitting did go through the town of Salem, so we will have a meeting in January with at least two items, and we have a tabled item that should be going before us as long as it gets through the town, and besides that, I guess it is also offering up a Merry Christmas to everyone.
Right, any other?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Bogle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?